to the next installment of what we discuss beyond the Parsha, where we take what's going on in the Parshios and apply it to our everyday lives to see how we can interact with it on a unique type of basis. And tonight what we are going to talk about, again to my uncle, thank you for the title, Virtual Reality, the Torah View on Dreams. Rosie, we'll get one soon. We're going to get a different title soon. It's going to come. Virtual Reality, the Torah View on Dreams. And normally, I might spend the first few minutes discussing how we got this connection from the Parsha, but I think this one is pretty obvious. Last week, we have the entire story with Yosef and his dreams. Yosef goes and he has these dreams and he says, "Brothers, parents, you're all going to bow to me." And we know that does not end too well for Yosef HaTzadik. They say, "Bro, we don't like you already. And now, double that, we really don't like you." They sell him, whatever happens, happens. We all know the story. But it all starts with the dreams. And then last week's Parsha ends with the dreams of the butler and the baker, where Yosef is able to interpret the dreams in the prison. And the most important question, well, arguably the most important question in Jewish history that Yosef HaTzadik asked, which was, "Why are you guys so sad today?" And my grandfather discussed this on Shabbos, where he said Yosef HaTzadik was sitting in jail with these two guys, and he sees that they're sad. And he says, Madua atem roim, I forgot the exact words. What was it? Madua atem atzuvim hayom? Yeah. "Why are you guys sad today?" And that's what Yosef HaTzadik says to them, and many are bothered. "What do you mean, why are we sad? We're stuck here in jail for something we didn't do. It's a pretty good reason to be sad." But no, this idea of always caring about others, even when you're in that type of situation. Yosef was thrown into jail for no reason, but still he's caring about others. That question changed the course of Jewish history. So Yosef interprets those dreams in this week's parsha in the beginning. Paro has these dreams that he just can't figure out, and it's driving him crazy. He has all of his chartumim, he has everyone, all of his dream interpreters come. No one is able to figure out until, oh wait, there was this Jewish guy in jail who knew how to interpret dreams. And they bring up Yosef. Yosef interprets the dream, second in command. We all know how the story goes. But again, a tremendous emphasis on dreams. So I want to discuss tonight what exactly our outlook is supposed to be when it comes to dreams. How are we supposed to view them? Do we take them seriously at all? Let's say some of the poskim discuss. Let's say I have a dream that I owe someone money. Do I have to pay them money? Let's say I make a neder in my dream that I am never going to eat at someone's house again, or I'm going to donate this much to this place. Do you have to go and follow through with that? Do you have to get that annulled? Can we make things happen in our dreams? How exactly are we supposed to treat all of this? And we see this idea come up throughout the entire Tanakh, throughout the entire Torah. We have the dream of Yaakov and the angels going up and down. We have Nebuchadnezzar goes and he kills all of the Chachamim because no one's able to interpret his dreams. We see this idea of dreams come up over and over again in Tanakh. And we need to figure out what exactly is behind this. Do we care about what happens in our dreams? So let's get started. So something that always bothered me in this entire discussion is what we kind of started out with. And that is, Yosef HaTzadik, was this someone who was so socially unaware? Did he have no idea what was going on around him? Doesn't seem to make much sense. He knows that him and Yaakov would learn all day and the brothers were a little jealous. You can always sense that. Okay, he might not have known the extent, but you got to be able to sense a little bit. So he knows that they're a little jealous. And then he goes and says, "Guys, you know what? You're all going to bow down to me one day." And they're furious. Okay, end of story. No, it's not. Because he comes back 20 minutes later, and he has another dream. And he says, "Oh, but you guys are really going to bow to me. And not just you, Dad is also going to bow to me. Okay, my mom, I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, because she's not here with us anymore. But she's also going to bow down to us. Or bow down to me." And then they're, you know, "We've had it. We're done. We got to get rid of you." But like, what was Yosef doing? Yosef, like, I understand you want your nevuah. You want to say your nevuah. But why? You can internalize it. Very nice. You had these dreams. Why did he feel the need to say this? You know, certain times we may be in an argument. We may be in a situation where we have something to say. And we really want to say it. But we all know sometimes the best policy is just to not say it. That applies in marriages. That applies in all types of relationships. At work, you want to get the last word in with your boss or whoever it may be. Sometimes it's just better not to say things. Now, Yosef HaTzadik was the second in command running the entire economical structure in the entire world. and he was so socially unaware that he had to go and say this. What's he doing? It doesn't make any sense. So the Rush discusses this question, and he says, obviously Yosef felt that there was some sort of halachic reason that he needed to go and say over these dreams. And he quotes, the Gemara tells us that if a Navi has a Nevuah, and he decides not to share it, he's kovesh his Nevuah, he is chayav Misa. Someone who is kovesh his Nevuah, if he gets Nevuah from Hashem and you choose not to share it, so he's chayav Misa. So obviously that's what Yosef HaTzadik must have felt. So he must have thought that since the Gemara tells us that dreams are 1/60th of Nevuah, so it's considered enough of a Nevuah that he had to share it, even though he knew that socially this would not be the right thing to do. This was not socially responsible. Pikuach Nefesh, maybe he didn't think it would go that far, but he knew that this was not the wise thing to do. But still, he said, you know what, I got to say this over, and we all know how it ended up. So from that Gemara, it seems that dreams are 1/60th of Nevuah. So some want to say, wow, 1/60th of Nevuah, that's a lot. But others want to say, we know when we have meat and milk, and a little bit of milk falls into the meat pot, 1/60th, right? 60 times is considered batel. It's considered as if it's nothing. So maybe 1/60th is a lot, or maybe 1/60th is nothing. I don't know. So different mefarshim have different explanations as to how they want to understand whether dreams being 1/60th of Nevuah means anything or not. Interesting. But there are sources that seem to go back and forth each and every way. First, let's discuss the side that seems to say that there would be some relevance to dreams. So first, source number one. Source number one is the pasuk that after all of these dreams that Yosef HaTzadik says, and Yaakov is furious at him, what are you saying? And we know Rashi points out to us that he's ripping him for saying that Rachel's going to bow down to you because Rachel's no longer with us. How could it possibly be? But then it says, Vayikanu bo'echav ve'aviv shamaras hadavar. Right? So the brothers were jealous, but Yaakov shamaras hadavar. What's shamaras hadavar? That he internalized it. He was waiting for it. He was yearning for it. Kind of put it in the back burner. He was anticipating it. This is what it means to be Shomer Shabbos. It doesn't just mean to follow all the laws of Shabbos. It means we have to be people who are anticipating Shabbos. We have to be ready for Shabbos. It's an exciting time. Ve'aviv shamar sadavar, Yaakov seemed to give some relevance to these dreams. He seemed to say, okay, I'm upset. I'm going to put on a nice show. I know what this is doing socially to all the brothers. And I need to rip it, and I don't want to make it sound ridiculous. But shamar sadavar, he knew there was something special going on here. We then get to other sources where the Torah teaches us that every Navi, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, had their Nevuah through a dream. Right? Only Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to have Hashem panim al panim, to have him face to face while he was awake. But every other Navi, and we know there were many Nevi'im, they would all have their Nevuah in their sleep, in their dreams. Gemara in Brachos tells us that back in the day there's Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was not what it is today. We were just talking about Beit El. And Beit El is a flourishing city today. But before Beit El was Beit El, when it was just that land. So Yerushalayim also wasn't always as nice as it is right now. Yerushalayim was a small little area where they had, you know, they had their stuff, whatever it was. And the Gemara tells us that there were 24 different shops of dream interpreters in that small little area. It's like all the pizza stores in the five towns. You got 24 little shops of dream interpreters. This was clearly something very serious going on. This is no joke. This is something that went on a lot. And that's why people felt the need. They were able to support 24 of these stores. So I understand we can support a lot of pizza stores, but they could support 24 different dream interpretation stores. We also know exactly that they felt the need. They felt that they needed to go and get it interpreted. Exactly. What made these people qualified for that? We're going to have to talk about that. Good point. But 24 different stores for that. We know in Birchas Kohanim, on Yontif, I know the Sfardim do it every day. We do it on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov we do Birchas Kohanim, and when the Kohanim are singing whatever tune they sing, and we have that paragraph that some people say, the Ribono Sholom, the Hiratzon, we are asking Hashem to not make too much of our bad dreams. Whatever bad dreams we've had, we should make them erased. And we seem to take this very seriously. Shulchan Aruch and Kof Lamed seems to quote this as well. There's this idea of making sure that we do not get stuck in our dreams. We have to have this special Ribono Shel Olam, this special Yiratzon, this idea that we say in Birchas Kohanim, but there is a source that we are about to see that seems to actually give halachic credence to a dream, and that is source number two. Source number two, the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chesem and Aleph tells us, Amar of Yosef, Nidohu b'chalom, Tzorech yud b'nei adam lahatir lo. So let's say the following thing happens. We all know of something called a chirem. A chirem nowadays is used, I know Ora has these chirems where a lot of times if someone's not going to give a get, they try to help get a chirem for the person. Chirem just means they're kind of excommunicated, we're not going to give them an aliyah, whatever it is. But back then, chirem was much more serious, much more severe, much more intense. They were totally alienated, and it got to the point where it was kind of dangerous for their lives. It was a very serious thing to be put in chirem back in the day. So if someone had a dream that they were put into a chirem, do they have to take this seriously? Says the Gemara, if you had a chirem in a dream, you need 10 people to go and matir you from it. The way it would work is if you were put into this chirem and you had 10 chachamim, 10 people who knew what they were doing, who were able to represent the community, and they were going to be matir you, you can come right back into the community. So if you had a dream that you were put into some sort of chirem, you need to get these people to go and matir you. V'udetanu hilchasa, it has to be people that know what they're talking about. They have to know halacha. Aval masnu v'lo tanu lo, but if they just know Mishnah and not Gemara, that might not work. Fine, v'ilaka detanu hilchasa, afilu masnu v'lo tanu, but if you have no one else except for these people who only know some Torah, that's fine also. V'ilaka lezo v'leisei v'aparsha zrachim yoyev shalma lebeyud. And if not, you should go and try to find these 10 people to be matir you. Ad demiklaile asara degamre hilchasa, until you find these people. Fine. I'm really Ravina or Ravashi. The Gemara goes on and says, Ravina says to Ravashi, Yoda man shamte mahu delishrile. So let's say you know the person in your dream. In your dream, it was one of those very clear dreams where you know who it was that gave you this chirem. So I know that this person came to me and gave me a chirem. Are you now allowed to go over to that person and say, can you just get me out of this? You just got me in this. Can you get me out of this? So no, that won't work, says the Gemara. Amrale lishamute shavi shliach. God made him a shliach in his dream to go and put this chirem on him. So God has to be the one to let it out. You need to go in front of 10 people. Then the Gemara asks, Amrale Ravacha Ravashi Shamtu Visharule Bechal Meimai. So what happens if you got put into a chirem, but then you got released from the chirem in your same dream? So it seems like you should be all good. That should be fine. You should not have to worry about this chirem anymore because yes, you got put into the chirem, but you also got taken out of the chirem. So it shouldn't matter, but it says the Gemara Amrale Kishem Sheyefshar Lebar Velo Teven. Just like anytime you're going to get some wheat, there's going to be some bad stuff with it, so too with a dream, there's going to be some stuff that's not true and some stuff that is true. So we're going to take the part where you got put into chirem seriously, but the part where you got let out of chirem not as seriously, and therefore you have to go and get this annulled by 10 people, 10 learned people. Now, if there was any source that was going to show us that we take our dream seriously, it would be this one. Very clearly, the Gemara tells us that if you have a dream that something happened, it has real-life ramifications, real-life impact on what we are supposed to doing on our day-to-day basis. If we get put into a chirem, we need to go and make sure that we get out of that chirem. And this is something which the Gemara takes very, very seriously. And this does not seem to make much sense. What exactly is it that we are doing? How are we supposed to treat these dreams? If we just ended the shiur over here, it would be very clear that we should live our lives making sure we have good dreams. If we do not have a good dream, we should make sure to act on it. If we were mean to someone in our dream, we should apologize for it. Okay, maybe that anyway. But I remember sometimes my mom always used to tell me that sometimes like she would wake up mad at someone and then realize it was because she had a dream about it. And she's like, oh, I feel so bad. I didn't mean to. I wasn't actually mad. You know, but it happens. But if we just ended the shiur right here, we would have to make sure that we were very careful every time we had any sort of dream, end of discussion. But there are sources which seem to imply the other way. The Gemara Brachos also tells us that dreams are just basically an expression of what you were thinking about that day. It's all a psychological phenomenon. Whatever you were focused on that day, that is what you are going to dream about. And this can be what it means that there was so much nevuah, so much dreaming back then. There were 24 shops for interpretation of dreams because back then they used to have much cleaner thoughts. They used to be focused on Torah and Avodas Hashem all day. Us, we live in a world with more gashmias where it's harder to focus. We have other things going on. It's harder to be so solely focused. So their dreams were holier than ours. They had real dreams that needed interpretation. Our dreams are okay, you know, they are what they are. They're reflections of what we were thinking about for a lot of the day. Okay, a little different. That's what some want to say. That might be the difference of, that might be the difference as to why there's not as much nevuah today. Okay, but there is another pasuk in Zechariah. The pasuk in Zechariah, not on the source sheet, tells us that dreams are kind of worthless. Calls them shav. Dreams have no impact. Dreams are not really important. Additionally, source number three. Source number three is a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us the following story. Let's say there is someone who unfortunately lost a parent. And they lost a parent and they know that this parent left them a tremendous amount of money. But the only issue is that they do not know where it is. They can't find it. But they want to get this inheritance. They want to be able to use it. It will change their lives, but they have no idea where they can find it. So they go to sleep that night. And they have a dream. Go look under this, in this area. And lo and behold, the next day they go. And the money is exactly where the dream said it would be. It's exactly there. And they go and they're so excited they have all this money. But then they remember the second part of their dream. And the second part of their dream was that all of this money is Maaser Sheni. It doesn't belong to them. It all belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what are we supposed to do? They now have this money, but it's Maaser Sheni. Just like the dream told me where the money is, the dream also told me that I don't own this money, says the Gemara. A person is going crazy over money that his father left him. Uva bal ha-chalom ve'omer lo kach ve'kach hein. B'makom ploni hein, shall Maaser Sheni hein. Zeha yamaisa. So what happened was, the person who, or whatever it is, that came to him in a dream, said, the money's right here, and it's right there, and you're going to find it exactly where I told you, but it's Maaser Sheni, so what do we say? V'amru, divrei chalomos lo ma'alin v'lo moridim. What do we say? We say that dreams mean nothing. Don't worry about it. You do not have to worry at all about the fact that you have Maaser Sheni money. You can keep the money, go enjoy yourself, do whatever you need to do, because dreams mean nothing. Fascinating. This seems to be totally against that Gemara Nedarim that we saw. Whereas in the Gemara Nedarim, if someone gets put into a cherem while they're in their dream, they need to go and get it matir. They need to go and make sure someone releases them. In this situation, oh, you had a dream, it's Maaser Sheni, who cares? You're good. Just keep your money, all good. Don't worry about it. Additionally, there is a Shilohs and Tshuvas book, which is fascinating. We know Shilohs and Tshuvas books. We have Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe. We have the Truma Zadai. There's so many Shilohs and Tshuvas books that are all incredible, and there is one that is interesting. And this is called the Shilohs and Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. Has anyone ever heard of it? Shilohs and Tshuvas Min HaShamayim was a guy, I forgot his name. He would have a lot of questions, and he would ask all the questions out loud before he would go to sleep. And every night, a malach would come to him in his sleep and give him the answers, and he would wake up and he would write it down. Shilohs and Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, what better source to ask than God himself? So this is the tshuva book from God. So do we take this seriously? You know, they say, Rav Chaim Volozhin said that the Gra used to talk about how if you daven hard enough, a malach will come to your dream and help you out with pshat and learning or whatever it is. So the Talmidim said, so Nu, can you give us like an insight that the malachim gave you? He said, are you crazy? You think I would ask for that? I'm not going to ask for that. I want to work hard. I want to figure it out on my own. I don't want any malach help. And this could be one of the pshatim that we know the Medrash tells us. I think we spoke about it earlier in the year. Medrash tells us that when Rivka was pregnant with Yaakov and Esav, so when she would pass a base avodah zara, then Esav would kick. When she would pass a base Knesset or a base Medrash, then Yaakov would kick. So many ask, why is Yaakov kicking? He's learning Kol HaTorah Kula with the Malach in the womb. What is he trying to get away from? Why is he going to the base Medrash? This is the best base Medrash possible. What's he trying to do? So some want to say, yeah, it's really nice to learn, but when you have a Chavrusha like Esav, I want to get out of there. Some want to say that answer. But others want to say that Yaakov had it so easy, it was being spoon-fed to him. God and the Malachim, however it works, it was the easiest thing in the world. They had Kol HaTorah Kula like that. It wasn't hard. It wasn't a struggle. So Yaakov Avinu wanted to get out to the Beis HaKnesses. He wanted to go to the Beis Medrash. He wanted to see what it's like to break your teeth over it, to work hard over it. This could be why some did not like the Shilohs and Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. Rav Avadi Yosef was very anti this Shilohs and Tshuvas book because he said, Lo Bashamayim he. We're here. We learn the Torah. We use our minds and our efforts to try to figure out what a sugya is saying, and that's not how it works. The Gemara in Bava Metzia actually has a big machlokas. There's a big time machlokas between two major rabbis in the community, and one of them said, if I'm right, then the walls in the Beis Medrash are going to cave in. And believe it or not, the walls in the Beis Medrash actually caved in. And then he says, if I'm right, a bas kol is going to come out and say that I'm right. Bas kol comes down and says that this person's right. But still, we don't paskin like them because lo bashamayim hi. We are humans and we have human intellect as our, obviously with the proper yerushamayim and the proper background and knowing what's happening. But that's what we judge our situations based off of. And we know that Rav Moshe, in his introduction to the Igros Moshe, talks about whether he's scared or not to put out this book. This is going to tell a lot of people what the halacha is. Let's say I'm wrong. Let's say I wasn't right about something. That's going to make a lot of people sin. That could be potentially really, really bad. But Rav Moshe says, no. I went in with the proper Yerushalayim. I did all the background work that I possibly could do. This is what I think. If this is what I came to the conclusion, if this is the conclusion that I came to after all of this work, you got to live with it. That's what it is. And from Rav Moshe, I'll take it. I wouldn't necessarily trust myself with that. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, if he's going to say that he came to the proper conclusion, kol hakavod to you. I'll take your word for it. So again, from these sources, it seems pretty clear that there is no credence to any sort of dream that we have. So this question that we started with, actually, let's say I take a neder in my dream. I go to sleep and I have a dream that I will never get any benefit from the GBM room again. So the next week there's a kiddush in the room. Am I allowed to eat at that kiddush? I said I'm never going to get any sort of pleasure from it, so am I allowed to? I said I'm going to give a donation to the shul I'm going to give X amount of dollars, and I said that in my dream. Am I now chayav to go do that? Do I have to go do some sort of hataras nedarim? How does it work? If I made a neder in my dream, how seriously do we take that? Says the Rashba in source number 4. The Rashba, Chelek Aleph Simin, Tuf Reish Samaches, says, V'ra'isi b'tshuvas ha-ge'onim, and I saw in the tshuvas of the ge'onim, Zal, let's say someone made a swear or a promise in their dream. How do we treat it? And we came to the conclusion that if there was some sort of neder done, you need to do hataras nedarim in order to not be chayav on that neder. So if you had a dream that you're not going to, some sort of pledge, or that you're going to stay away from something, that might actually be binding. But says the Rush in the Tshuvas HaRush in Chal Ches Simin Yud Aleph, says the Rush, HaNoder Onishba B'chalam Sheshalta Im Tzorech HaTara, the question that we asked, if someone made a neder or a shavua in their dream, does it need HaTara Kimoni Duhu B'chalam, just like that Gemara said that if you got put into a chayrim, you need to get rid of it. Daki Ein Tzorech Klum, you don't need to get rid of anything. Da'afilu HaNishba B'heketz Boi Piv V'libo Shavim, even if you did made a normal shavua, or if you made a normal pledge, it needs to be coming from your mouth. You need to verbally say something in order to make a pledge binding. So a dream is obviously not going to work. Kol shekein v'chalom, she'ein kan lo peh v'lo lev. So a dream where you're not conscious, of course it's not going to be binding. That's what the Rush says. And many others say that as well. Some want to make a distinction between certain types of nedarim, certain types of shavuos. Maybe if it's just a metzias, if it's something you were thinking about that day, whatever it is. But this machloka seems to be very clearly also about how binding dreams are. So let's do Isaac's favorite part. Let's get a little review going on here. Let's try to catch up, see where we are, see what we are up to right now. So we started with a question. Well, we started with a point of discussing how throughout Tanakh, throughout the Torah, and especially in our last few weeks, Parshios, there is a major emphasis on dreams. Ve'aviv shamaras adavar, Yaakov Avinu even acknowledged in anticipation, he was waiting to see when Yosef's dreams were going to come true. Unbelievable. And we see it throughout. We saw it with Yosef and the butler and the baker, Yosef's dreams himself, Paro's dreams that create the situation where Yosef becomes the second in command. We see there is a tremendous emphasis on dreams, and we wanted to figure out, are dreams something that we take seriously in halacha or not? And we saw some sources which seem to imply yes. Number one, we saw that the Rush was talking about why Yosef went ahead and even said his dreams over. What, was he socially missing something? It didn't make any sense. He said Yosef thought, based on the Gemara, that just like a Navi who holds back his Nevuah is Chayiv Misa, so since a dream is 1/60th of Nevuah, maybe he has to share that as well. And we pointed out, some want to say 1/60th is a lot, but others want to say 1/60th is the halachic equivalent of zero. That's how we have bittul in halacha, because it means nothing. So that wasn't necessarily a proof. We then spoke of different areas where dreams do seem to become relevant. We spoke of the Birchas Kohanim, where we discuss staying away from bad dreams. We have that Yiratzon, we have that Ribono Shalom, where we try and stay away from all of that. We had the Gemara in Brachos, which said that there were 24 different dream interpretation shops in the small Yerushalayim, something that they took very seriously. We know all of the Nevi'im, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, had all of their dreams as Nevuah. All of their Nevuah came through dreams. They didn't have a face-to-face. But the most important Gemara that we saw on this Tzad was the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Ches. The Gemara Nedarim said, if someone gets put into a Cheirim in their dreams, then what? They have to go and get it Matir by other people, seeming to say that it is extremely binding. We take what happens in our dreams extremely seriously. But then we saw the other side. The Pasuk in Zechariah tells us that it's like a shove. It's meaningless. Dreams mean nothing. We then discussed this Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin told us the amazing case of someone who lost the money from his father, the inheritance money. Where is it? And it comes to him in a dream, and they tell him, the money's going to be right there under this cabinet in there, but the money's Meister Sheni. So does he have to give back all that money? Is he allowed to keep that money? Says the Gemara, Divrei Chalomos, lo malin, lo maridin. Dreams are worthless, they are meaningless, they mean absolutely nothing. Seems to imply from there that dreams are worthless. And we ended with this machlokes of the Rashba and the Rush, as to if we take a neder, or we take some sort of shvua in our dreams, is that binding? The Rashba said, yeah, you have to go and get it annulled. Yina du ataras nedarim, and the Rush said, no way. Relax there, okay? What's going on? There was no verbal saying that you're going to actually do this. This is all just a dream. Relax. You don't have to do it. You're good.
But it seems like the Rush is really not discounting the significance of dreams in a general way. It's really a technicality with regard to a neder in particular that you need people to
That's a great point.
But however, he might in other cases agree with everything else about the importance.
Very good point. Very good point. Very good point. So we're going to have to see that. The Rush has, it's a lot much longer tshuva, but it's an excellent point. Just from that point alone, you're 100% right. Excellent. Really nice point. So again, we are left with trying to figure out what exactly is it with dreams. And most of the Rishonim and the Achronim who deal with this try to figure out the Stira and the Gemaras. And that's what we're going to do. We had other sources as well, but the Gemara Nedarim, which seems to say that dreams are legit, versus the Gemara Sanhedrin, which seems to show very clearly, Divrei Chalomos lo malin v'lo maridin, dreams are worthless. How are we supposed to answer this question? So, some want to say, some of the commentaries on Sanhedrin, and some of the Mefarshim, actually in that case in Meiser Sheni, they explain, you know, really the pshat is that dreams are extremely meaningful. Dreams mean everything. We take dreams very, very seriously. But the case with the Meiser Sheni, the case with the inheritance money is different. Why? Because that was on its mind all. That was on his mind all day. If we even look at the Gemara, Haresha Haya Mitzta'er, said the Gemara in source number 3. This person all day was thinking, how is he possibly going to be able to get his money? Where is it going to be? How could he get it? How could he find it? That was on his mind the entire day. But so in that situation, it was just a psychological projection of what you were thinking about that day. So in that situation, dreams mean nothing. But in general, when a dream comes out of nowhere, that's something you got to take very seriously. So this situation is different. It makes sense. If you're going to get put into a cheirim for no reason, like the Gemara Nedarim, of course we're going to take it very seriously. But Gemara in Sanhedrin, you were thinking about that all day. That's why the dream is worthless. And this idea makes it into halacha. There's something called the Tainis Chalom, a fast day based on a dream. The Shulchan Aruch actually brings this down. It's in Reish Chaf. The Shulchan Aruch tells us if someone had a really bad dream, they can make a fast day. And it should be that day, even if it's on Shabbos. Normally, there's an Isser to fast on Shabbos. But if it's for a Tainis Chalom, then you can. Very seriously, we take this. Unbelievable. But says the Taz, that only applies if it's a dream that came out of nowhere. If you were thinking all day, you had a very hard day, and there was a scare, or there was something like this, and you had a dream that something happened, and it makes sense based on what you were thinking about that day, you don't have to fast for that, because that's just a psychological projection. But if it's something where it just came out of nowhere, and you were having a great day, everything was wonderful, and all of a sudden you have this horrible dream, that's where Tainis Chalom comes in. And again, how we apply that nowadays, yeah, it's still real. Shulchan Aruch talks about it. We don't do it that often. We might do other things, whatever it is. But that might be real. So that's the first answer. The first approach from the Mefarshim in Sanhedrin is that generally dreams are to be taken seriously. They are a force to be reckoned with. But this situation is different because this was on your head the entire day. It was just a psychological projection, so that's why we are not going to take it seriously. That's what the Gemara means. Divrei chalomos lo malin velo moridin. That's what it means, that it is worthless. That is the first approach to understanding this sugya. Second approach comes from the Tashbetz in source number 6. Don't worry, we will not read the entire thing inside. And I know most of it is underlined, so saying the underlined part is not so comforting. But we will just read a very little bit of this. Says the Tashbetz, first we'll say it outside, then maybe we'll point out some of it inside. Says the Tashbetz. He says, you know, in general, when we raise these questions, we say, is it mean everything? Should you base your life based on dreams, or no, are they worthless? So I usually point it out as two extremes. It's got to be some sort of middle ground. And there's got to be some sort of pshara, some sort of compromise. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. We've spoken about that so many times in life. And in these sugyas too. It doesn't always have to be all or nothing. Says the Tashbetz, there are certain dreams which are to be taken seriously, certain dreams which do impact our daily lives, things which we should take very seriously. And then there are other dreams which we should not be taking seriously. There are dreams which mean nothing, which are worthless, which are useless. How do we know which one is which? That is the key. So let's start from the beginning of the Tashbetz. We're just going to read the first few lines. Me'ata achar shenis yashiv lonu midivrei chachmeinu zal, ve'hiskil me'ir alav ki yesh chalomos tzod kimroi lachosh lahem. There are some dreams which are worthy of worrying about. We should care about some dreams. Ve'yesh chalomos bilti tzod kim ein lachosh lahem. And there are dreams that mean absolutely nothing. Therefore, anachnu misupakim bazeh hachalom, im hu tzodek, o hu bilti tzodek, im yeshlanu lachosh badavar haroi lachosh, v'shalo lachosh badavar she'ein roi lachosh, kefi shar she'a talmud. So, says the Tashbetz, there are some dreams which are meaningful, and some dreams which are meaningless. How do we know which one is which? The answer is that we don't. We don't know which ones are which. We don't know when we're supposed to take a dream seriously. Therefore, it's a big suffix. Now, how do we treat this suffix? We treat it like every other suffix that we have in halacha. And we go by the general principles of halacha. So when it comes to dine mamonos, we have kolam. Let's say I went over to Mr. Gluck. I said, that suit is mine. And you said, no, it's not. We have a suffix right now. So what are we going to do? Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Exactly. The person who's the mukhzuk, the person who's currently holding it, he is going to be the one to keep it. So my claim means nothing, because we have a suffix, but you're the mukhzuk. So it means absolutely nothing. So in the situation, by the money, says the Tashbetz, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this person has the money, and he had a dream that he has to go and give it all to the Beis HaMikdash and Maaser Sheni, HaMotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya. We treat it as a suffix. Oh, so what about the situation in Nidarim? The Gemara told us that you have to go and get this whole thing annulled. If you get put into a cheirim, you need to get it annulled. Says the Tashbetz, that's an area of Isser V'Heter. That's no longer Dinei Mamonos. That's something of Isser V'Heter. And we know when it comes to Suffolk Isser, then we're Machmir. We say, even if we're not sure, we try to make sure that you should go and get this annulled. Make sure that you're not actually part of this cheirim, even though it's just a Suffolk. By that, we want to make sure to be extra careful. So says the Tashbetz, it depends what kind of dream we're having. If we're having a dream which is going to be mechayev us money, or some other area of halacha where we would say, okay, a dream that I'm chayev in a bracha, let's say. Dream I forgot to bench. I don't remember, did I forget to bench or not? Suffolk brachos lahaka, you don't have to go and do it. So if you have some sort of dream that is meaningful, we don't know. Is it meaningful or is it meaningless? It's hard to know. It's a suffix, so we use the other klolim that we have of suffix in halacha, and that's how we are going to be able to tell whether we should take it seriously. And the Tashbetz says two stories which seem to represent his point. One story is there was a certain type of fish back in the day that they weren't sure if it was kosher or not, and one of the Bali Tosfos took a stand and said, this fish is kosher and I'm going to eat it right now. And that night he went to sleep and he had a dream that one of the malachim came to him and offered him a bug to eat. and the bug was very clearly not kosher, and he said, what are you offering this to me for? It's not kosher. And the malach said, it's just as kosher as that fish you were eating, actually. And the next day he took his lesson and he realized, he said, okay, this fish is now usher to eat. He made a psak based on that dream. Why? Because that is a suffic isser. That is an isser v'heter situation. So we're going to be machmir. We're going to take it seriously. Exactly. We're going to go l'chumra. And then he brings another story. The story goes that there was someone who lost a very close family member. And they buried them, let's say, in America. And that night they go to sleep. And they have a dream that this family member comes to them and says, I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So generally, the halacha is that you're not really allowed to touch anything after the body's already buried. If you want to move it from New York to New Jersey, you want to move it from Queens to Manhattan, that will not work. You're not allowed to touch anything. But the halacha is, if you want to move it to Eretz Yisrael, going up in Kedusha, that's a separate story. So halachically, you might be allowed to do that. Now the question is, are you chayiv to do that? So you had this dream that this person wanted you to bury them in Eretz Yisrael, but we all know, to have them undug, and then to have them flown to Eretz Yisrael and buy a burial plot, it gets expensive. It would be a major burden on the family. Are you chayiv to listen to the dream? Says the Tashbetz, Hamotzi mechaveru alav harai. If you want to do it, if you're able to do it, kol hakavod. But you're not chayiv to do anything, because hamotzi mechaveru alav harai, you cannot have a dream being mechayiv you any money. And this can make sense why, if you made a pledge in your dream, it wouldn't be chal. Because you cannot have anything be mechayiv you in a dream, something that is going to cost you. And this really can help us explain everything. All the situations and all the gemaras, this stira doesn't seem like a stira at all anymore. It actually seems kind of nice. It fits beautifully. This is a beautiful shot of the Tashbetz. And he says this all here. You can read the underlying point. No time right now, but you can read the underlying points. Really, really, really nice. Then there is the approach of the Shivas Tzion, who is the son of the Noda Behuda. So far we've had two approaches. Again, our question, do we take dreams seriously or not? The Gemara Nedarim, which seemed to say, yes, that we do need to get our Chirim, our Chirim annulled. And on the other hand, we had Sanhedrin, which seemed to say, you do not have to treat this money like Maaser Sheni. Don't worry about it. Dreams are worthless. So which one is it? So the first approach was that the Mefarshim on the Maaser Sheni Gemara, they said that case is different. Really, dreams are to be taken seriously. That case is different because you were thinking about it all day. It's just a psychological projection. And approach number two is from the Tashbetz, a beautiful yesod, that we don't know if dreams are meaningful or not. So we treat it as a suffix, and every situation is going to be treated like a halachic suffix, and we are going to apply all the kolim that we normally would. So I'm not going to be able to go and just take something from someone based on a dream. We're going to be follow that kol. But we're also going to follow the kol of suffix isra lahachmir. And in a situation of kashrus, or in a situation of situation that was quoted, our situation of a chirem, where there is iser involved, then we are going to take the dream seriously. Now there is the next approach from the Shivas Tzion in source number 7, which is the son of the Noda Behuda, and he says, really, 99% of dreams are absolutely meaningless. Omnam ze yaduah mevurar b'mofei sherov ha-chalomos nishavim misibas ha-gof ha-sharleyam amru divrei chalomos einon ma'alin ve'einon moridim. 99% of dreams mean absolutely nothing. Rak ha-miyut miyuta demiyuta. A tiny, tiny percentage. Heim ho-ra v'hoda min ha-shamayim. But a very small percentage are actually meaningful and something that you do need to be careful with. So how do we know which one is which? We're left with a similar situation. So we have rove situations telling us that dreams are meaningless. So 99% of the time, you don't have to worry about that. Now, what about in our situation? Let's skip down to the last line, the underlying part. Umeyata davar ze eino nogei ledavar iser kiim lesakana. So when we're faced with that type of 99% to 1% difference, so normally we don't have to be choshesh for it. It's nothing. It's as if it doesn't even exist. We don't have to be choshesh for it. So that fits in really nicely with the Gemara saying that we don't need Maaser Sheni. You don't need to treat it as Maaser Sheni because we don't have to take the dream seriously. As long as I have the money right now, I'm good. But what about the Gemara Nedarim? Why do you have to take the Chayram seriously? It has nothing to do with Isser. Ki im with Sakana. This situation of a chayrim is different. Chayrim does not mean what it means now, as we pointed out. Chayrim back then was something very seriously, it was something very serious and potentially life-threatening. When it comes to something which is life-threatening, we know sakana, pikuach nefesh, sakana nefashos, we take very seriously. And since this is a sakana situation, we want to make sure that you get this chayrim annulled. So it's true 99% of the time you don't have to worry about dreams. You find your money and you remember that you dreamt that it was Meister Sheni, don't worry about it. But if you have this dream that this chayrim exists on you, something which could potentially cost you your life, we don't want to mess with that. Now this gets into a more general question of when we take pikuach nefesh seriously and what we are allowed to violate isurim for it. This became a hot topic when the security in shul, the CSS, kind of started. Right? Some people wanted, there's a big machloka. So we know we don't have to be choshesh for one in a million chance. And we know we obviously have to be choshesh for a 20% chance. But what about those middle situations? So this is all machloka, something that we can maybe talk about a different time when isurim can be violated. We should all make sure to be safe. We should all make sure to be very careful, especially in the world we live in today. But that is approach number three, that generally dreams mean nothing, but when it comes to bikuach nefesh, when it comes to sakana, for that small percentage, we are going to be choshesh. We don't want to risk anything when it comes to life. So that's why we would take it seriously. And the fourth approach, and the last approach that we are going to say, is the Ran in Meseches Nedarim, where the Ran says that everything depends on the purpose of the dream. If the dream is trying to determine a metzias, if it's trying to tell me something that's happening in this world and change something that's happening in our world, in our everyday lives, so that's not going to be treated seriously. So it's true that you were able to find the money only because the dream told you where it was, but we're not going to listen to it when it says that it's Meister Sheni. But when it comes to a chayrim is not just something in this world. A chayrim is something in the spiritual realms, God, something with Shemayim. That, okay, that's beyond our pay grades, that's beyond our level of comprehension. If someone got a chayrim put on them with a Ruach HaKodesh that it took to give someone a chayrim, that's something that you could take seriously because that's already in the upper realms, so it makes sense that a dream will be able to impact that. So we had our four approaches to the question, and all of these approaches could be used to understand how we should treat our dreams and how we should interact with them. So again, the question, the Gemara Nedarim versus the Gemara Sanhedrin, four answers. Answer number one. Dreams are to be taken very seriously, and the only reason that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says no is because it's a psychological projection, because this person was worrying about his money all day. So dreams obviously really do mean something, but in this situation they wouldn't. Approach number two, the Tashbetz, that we treat it as a suffix, because we don't know if it actually means anything or not, and therefore we apply all the halachic principles that we do normally when it comes to a suffix situation. Number three was that normally we do not think dreams mean anything, but when it comes to sakana, we don't want to mess with it, and a chayrim is kind of putting your life on the line. It's not so safe, so that's why we're not going to mess with that. And answer number four was the Ran, who said that the upper realms are different. When we're dealing with a chayrim, which is more in Shemayim and whatever it is, there a dream might mean something, but in our everyday lives, a dream does not mean anything. Good. Now, just for a minute, I want to talk about how do we know what our dreams say. And we discussed, the Gemara in Brachos told us, that there were 24 dream interpreter shops. All 24 of these stores were able to stay in business because people always wanted to get their dreams interpreted. And the Gemara tells us a story of a guy who had a dream, and he went to all 24 shops. He wasn't satisfied with any of them. And he got 24 different interpretations. That's funny, it reminds me, my grandmother told me she went to L.A., and I think my grandfather was going for business, and they were in L.A. together, and my grandmother went on the bus tour of all the celebrities' houses, right? So people only do that once, right? So she went on one day, and she said, oh, this is this person's house, that's that person's house, this person's house. Okay, very nice. And the next day, she found herself in a similar situation. My grandfather was out. She's like, all right, I'll go again. So she went again, and they made up everything. The next day, this is this person's house. She's like, wait, didn't yesterday... lady, who goes on this thing twice? So, got 24 different interpretations. 24 different interpretations to one dream, but the Gemara tells us that all 24 of them came true. Interesting. And the Gemara learns from here that the way that we interpret the dream actually makes a tremendous impact. And we learn it from the Pasuk in our Well, at the end of last week's parsha, the pasuk says, "Vayhi kasher pasar lanu kein haya." As Yosef interpreted them, that's how it happened. And the Gemara says that our interpretations, how we say them, the last line, if we look at the second to last line in the source number 9, the last source, Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shekoach halomot holchen achar hapeh, that all dreams go achar hapeh, they go after the interpretation, shenemar vayikasher pasar lanu kein haya. Just as it was interpreted, that's how it happened. It seems that the way that a dream is interpreted is going to interpret how it is going to impact our lives. So we have any dream, but as long as we think that it means that we won the lottery, that might be a good deal. If we interpret it to say something positive, maybe that's how it's going to be. So it seems pretty simple, but there are others who say no. We can't go that far. Barbanel and others say no, there was a certain amount of Ruach HaKodesh that went into it. There were certain techniques of knowing what's important in a dream, what's not important in a dream, knowing when things are relevant, when things are not relevant, but it certainly cannot help to have a positive attitude when we are thinking of our dreams. Even for the slight chance that that might be the pshat in the Gemara, we should be choshesh and we should always look at our dreams positively. And I just want to end with the little drush. I know we like to end with a little drush. We have the halacha part, we have the machleksim. End with a little drush about dreams. And we know the Rav has this whole idea about Yosef and his dreams. So we discussed why Yosef would even say them. Was he missing some social cues? It didn't make any sense. But the Rav points out a fundamental difference between Yosef and his brothers. And his brothers were happy with the status quo. They were comfortable. They were happy with where they were. But Yosef was a dreamer. Yosef was someone who was always looking to the next step, trying to figure out how he could be better, how he can improve himself, how he can improve his people, his family, and the entire world. We all need to be dreamers. Doesn't mean we're going to accomplish everything that we dream, but we need to make sure we have these dreams. The dreams where we can shoot for anything, we can try to accomplish, we can try to be a Talmud Chacham, we can try to be a Baal Chesed, we can try to be someone who impacts the world in a positive way. We should never have our dreams stop. We should never stop thinking that we are able to accomplish, because when we do, that's when we know we're missing something. When we're not able to even hope for better, when we're not even able to think that we can be better, or our situation can become better, then we know things are not going well. We always have to remember, things can change at any second. We've seen it in the positive, we've seen it in the negative. We have Hashem on our side, we are so lucky. And we need to remember to continue to dream, continue to push, continue to work, no matter what we have or have not accomplished in our lives, whether we are happy with where we are or not as happy with where we are, as long as we are still here, we still have time to improve it, we still have time to work on it. We have to continue to dream, because that is the only way that we can get better. So whether we take dreams seriously or not, machlokas, whichever opinion you want to take, we as individuals need to continue to dream, continue to yearn to get better, and look to see how we can make ourselves, our families, our communities, and our world a better place. So everyone should have a wonderful night. Thank you again.